today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when you don't necessarily believe in ghosts but have an experience that you can't explain? Would you change your mind or still dig in that ghosts aren't real?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we'd absolutely love that. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to get a commercial-free version of the show, you can do that easily. All you got to do is go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe there, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. I've known a lot of people who don't believe, but I've had experiences, my dad being one of them. And it's just like, no matter what, it's like, well, you know, it's probably this, it's probably that. And it's just like, there's no point in trying to convince someone if they don't want to. I think it's more of like a, I don't want to say survival, but it's a, it would be too dynamic shifting of a belief system to change if you were to accept that ghosts are not real and you've had that belief for that amount of time.
Right. And that goes with things like aliens and all that kind of stuff, too. Like, until it's standing right in front of you. And even at that, in that point, I think sometimes people come up with reasons that it can't be what it obviously is. I think there's just people that just don't want to deal with it. And I guess, you know, we do that a lot in our lives. There's a lot of stuff we don't want to hear about. We don't want to think about. We don't want to see. And so we put our blinders up and we just say, doesn't affect me right here, this moment. I'm not going to think about it.
I wish I had the ability to do that. I mean, I can do it to stuff, but I can still accept that it's there, you know, and like, okay, you may not like it, but it's like, yeah, it's over there, whatever. But I don't have to engage in it. The whole ability to be like, nope, not true, not at all, not happening. That's a special skill that I don't know. How do you get that one?
I don't know. I think it has to do with maybe your intelligence has something to do with that, too. Like, you can't wrap your brain around something, so you just pretend it's not true.
Ah, yeah, that'd be great. I want to do that. It would make life so much easier. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a call. Hi.
Hey there, Tony, and the rest of the gang. Really like the show. I discovered the podcast a couple of years ago now. And just love it. I listen to it whilst I'm working, and it does kind of scare me occasionally, but ultimately I love it. So the story that I have for you, hopefully you'll share this. It'd be great if you did. But the story didn't actually happen to myself. It actually happened to my dad. I'm originally from England, but now live in the USA. However, my father still lives back home. And up until the last sort of 10, 12 years of his life, he's still alive, but up until the last 10 or 12 years of his working life, he actually changed career from being a vehicle technician to doing security, just because he wanted to get out of the industry and a few other reasons. So he ended up getting stationed at the town hall in our local city, a very big city. And he said that he's not a believer really in anything. He doesn't believe in ghosts. He doesn't believe in God. You know, he thinks it's all nonsense, you know, things like that. So, he said that he experienced a few things in this building that he cannot explain. Now, it's a very, very old building, probably hundreds of years old. I don't know exactly how old, but yeah, my guess is a couple of hundred years old. And he was doing his patrol. So he used to work 12-hour shifts. So like 7 in the morning till 7 at night or vice versa. And on this one occasion, he was on a night shift and he was by himself and he was doing his rounds, making sure everything was okay. Everything was, you know, locked and secure and making sure that there was nobody in the building. And he said that he heard a noise up on this top level. Now the part of the building where he was at, I believe it was like a library section. that you could only get to using an elevator. So he said that he heard this noise. So he went up the spiral staircase that led upstairs, and it was a metal staircase. And he, you know, shone his flashlight around, couldn't see anything. Everything seemed to be fine. Couldn't explain what the noise, and it was just kind of like a bang or like a thud. Couldn't explain it. So he was coming back down, and he felt something hit the top of his head with a little bit of force. And he didn't know what it was, but then when he turned round and shone his flashlight on the stairs, he saw this washer like you would get on a bolt or a nut. He saw this washer just spinning as if it had been dropped kind of on his head. So he thought that was, you know, kind of odd, very weird. So he went and sat down at a desk where he was usually stationed. And he said he looked over at one of the walls. He was aware of something going on, and he looked over at one of the walls, and he said it was actually glowing. It was like glowing like this orange, red, kind of fiery kind of color. And of course, by this point, he's getting a little bit freaked out, even for him, and he's not really scared of anything, but even for him, he was getting a little bit scared and kind of freaked out by this. So of course, by this point, he's kind of thinking, okay, I probably should get out of here. And then just after that, after he saw this wall kind of glow, the elevator dinged. And it would only do that if the button is pressed either downstairs by somebody, or if it was pressed upstairs by somebody trying to go down. So that was very, very strange. And of course, the elevator opened and there was nobody there. There was nobody else in the building. So yeah, it was all very, very creepy and all very strange. I think at that point he then booked it out of the place and continued the rest of his shift from the comforts of his patrol vehicle outside. And he, to this day, he doesn't know what that was, but it was enough to kind of scare him. It was enough to kind of freak him out. There was another story as well where he was at the same building and there was this group of construction guys in the building as well, and they were kind of remodeling various areas of the building. And the manager or the boss of the construction group, he was going around various areas of the building and taking pictures, the areas where the guys would be doing the work. And then he was dividing out like various sections to different groups of the construction crew. And my dad knows this because he was friends with the construction guys and also the, you know, the manager. And so he kind of knew, what was going on. So, and of course they told him that all of it, you know, this story. And apparently he went back and he uploaded the pictures on his computer, and then he was going through each of the different areas with the guys, kind of telling them what they'll be doing in that area, who was working on what, things like that. And then this one guy was like, wait a minute, who was that in that picture with you? And the manager guy's like, well, I was on my own. What are you talking about? And he said, well, go back to that picture. So they went back, and clear as day in this picture is this thing. To me, it looks like a person from maybe like the 40s, like kind of World War II kind of era. They look like they're wearing a long brown, or it could be like a dark green coat, like almost like a trench coat with almost like a fur collar. And they're kind of semi-transparent, and you can't see any feet. You can kind of make out the legs and possibly some kind of dress. But it kind of just looks like there's holes where their eyes should be. It's a really freaky picture. And I actually have that, if you would like me to send that to you. I sent it to somebody else, another kind of publication years ago when this happened, and they said it was the best real, because it's 100% genuine, 100% real. They said it was the best picture and best evidence of a ghost that they'd ever seen. And they had a local, you know, regular kind of section in their magazine each month for the paranormal, where viewers or readers could send in their picture. And they said it was one of the best they'd seen. So if you guys would like me to send that to you, I'd love your thoughts. Please do let me know, get back to me. But yeah, to this day, my dad can't explain any of those instances of weird things going on. He can't explain anything. And to this day, he just kind of is, is kind of bewildered by it and doesn't know what happened that night. But anyway, I just thought I'd share those couple of stories with you. But yeah, that picture that I have really does emphasize that story that I told you about the construction crew. So I'd be happy to send that to you. Just let me know. Love the show, guys. As I say, I listen pretty much every day when I'm at work. So yeah, keep up the good work. I think you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. And I'll call in again with a few other of my own personal experiences. They're not necessarily ghost stories, but they're weird experiences that I've had in my life. So I'll call back in with those another occasion. Okay, thank you so much. Bye for now.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts on that?
Got to see the picture. So if he can send that in, that's got to happen because yeah. I want to see what that's like. It's interesting to me. Like, I think it takes a very special person to be a security guard in a building like that all by yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got to have nerves of steel, all that kind of stuff. And I wonder when they're interviewing, if they ask people like, do you have views on ghosts and stuff like that? Because you want somebody that's going to stay calm and collected in any situation. But it's interesting that his father, who really doesn't believe in anything, was actually shook up over a couple of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You would think you'd want somebody that could handle that sort of thing. But it's also a weird thing to say in an interview. Have you ever had that? I mean, have you ever had that when you've worked anywhere? I mean, we've been places where we've discovered the place was haunted. But have you ever had it in an interview where somebody said, and by the way...
No, nobody's ever done that before. And the first time that would happen to me would be the last time I came to work without some sort of paranormal investigative equipment. I would have all my K2s and my REM pods and all that kind of stuff in my backpack when I came to work the next time.
I didn't do it. I should have done it, but I was almost going to break out my one of the ghost apps the other day when I found that chair or that table leaf I was talking about.
Why didn't you?
I don't know. I just...
Grandma, are you here? Grandma?
But what if it wasn't going to be grandma? What if it was going to be like, you know,
Zool.
Exactly. Zool or Beelzebub or something.
Well, of course, Beelzebub does not want you to forget grandma's leaf for the table.
That's true.
I mean, he's just thinking about that.
You know what did run through my mind, but we did not do it, was, okay, we're going to leave this house. We want to play with the Ouija board. Should we just do it right now before we leave?
Not good.
I thought, no, that shit can follow you too. So I'm like, yeah.
That poor family who bought your house, they move in, they're all happy and everything, and things just go awry just because you did that.
The funny thing is, I mean, they could probably figure out who I am. I mean, my truck has the logo on it, and I think they've seen it a few times. So maybe they're like listening, going, I wonder what's up with that guy. Well, here you go. Enjoy the farm. We did a couple satanic rituals in the kitchen. We sacrificed a couple goats before.
And they can't figure out why one of the rooms has flies in the window now.
They won't go away. You know what? When I moved into that house, I had that problem. But it was because the doors were open for moving in so many things. But it got bad. And eventually, I was kind of like, there's something up here. But then I got some of that fly tape stuff, and it seemed to get all the flies. Then I just forgot to like take it down. I had like one hanging in the garage for like a couple years, and it was just like covered in flies.
Oh.
I remember those. I mean, I didn't know what else to do, but I remember like seeing those things specifically. Maybe you remember this too. When we were younger, our fairgrounds in the hometown that we grew up in, they would have, it was these old buildings. And I believe a lot of them were actually part of a POW camp from World War II. But we ended up using them as like the exhibition buildings for like the county fair and then the like the local craft show and the flea market and things like that. But I remember some of those buildings having those big fly tape things hanging from the ceilings. And it was always gross because there was just like tons of flies stuck to them. And sometimes they'd fall from the gives. I was like, what is that? What's this fly tape? Oh, that's wonderful. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. You can sign up to be a supporter at ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, or go directly through Apple Podcasts and do it there. You can even try it for 3 days free. We definitely appreciate that support. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.